The Unforgiving Servant, Matthew 18:21-35, Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Jesus' parable in Matthew 18 tells us of a man who paid an enormous debt to a king and what happened to him when he could not pay. We suggest some application to believers who are unwilling to forgive others. Revenge is a major feature in the lives of many people. They just can't forget something that somebody did to them, and they spend the rest of their lives, or at least a significant fraction of it, plotting how they can get back at that person. Revenge is actually a strong temptation for all of us, and surely most of us can remember occasions on which somebody said or did something that we still feel unhappy about. Well, it really is hard to forgive when somebody has done something really nasty to us. But Jesus requires his followers to be forgiving. And this is not an option. Consider Jesus' story in Matthew 18. Starting at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii, much smaller amount of money. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Well, before we charge in to think about the story, let's think a little bit about the context in which it occurs in Matthew 18. Jesus has just been teaching on how Christians are to deal with other believers who have sinned against them. Peter wants to know how many times we should forgive a brother. This probably assumes repentance. Compare Luke 17:4, where Jesus says, "If he repents, forgive him," implying that it's impossible for us to forgive someone if they don't recognize that it's a problem, that it's a sin. Peter probably feels generous in suggesting seven times forgiveness, as the rabbis recommended limiting forgiveness to three times. Jesus' response is best understood as saying that our forgiveness should be unlimited, rather than that we should keep careful accounts. Say, that's your 67th. You've got only 10 more to go. Huh? Jesus justifies his response with this story. Well, in the story, a king is settling accounts with his servants. And that term, particularly in the Eastern, what shall we say, monarchies, could be anybody from somebody who kept the stables of the king, or even cleaned out the stables of the king, to somebody who is his prime minister. They're all servants. The size of the fellow's debt that we're confronted with here, 10,000 talents, indicates that he must be a high-level official in the royal bureaucracy. Otherwise, it's very hard to imagine running up any debt that size. Huh? What size is that? A talent, there are 10,000 of them here, is 60 to 75 pounds of silver. For those of you on the metric system, 25 to 30 kilograms. According to the Jewish historian Josephus in his book Antiquities, book 12, section 175, the whole annual tax revenue of Palestine was 8,000 talents. So 8,000 talents a year that was collected for the Roman government, for Herod, and I suppose for the tax gatherers themselves. We're told here that the king orders to sell the fellow and his family into slavery. Well, that would be mainly punishment or revenge of some sort. The king is not going to get his money back that way. The top price for a slave in those times would have been about one talent, and that would only have been for specially gifted slaves. For most slaves, the price would have been about a tenth of that. The fellow's plea is, be patient and I'll repay. And that plea, frankly, is unbelievable in this case. King Herod's annual income, he had tax revenue for Palestine collected each year, but his cut of that was only 900 talents. So it would take, 11 years or something to build up 10,000 talents for even such a high official in the Roman government as King Herod. For a common day labor, making, say, a denarius a day, we'll hear more about the denarius in a bit here, this would be 60 million days' wages, or about 200,000 years. So you can see that the fellow's plea, be patient and I'll repay it, is a cry of desperation, not a serious offer. But the king has pity and forgives the fellow. Well, the fellow goes out and finds this fellow who owes him 100 denarii debt. That's not insignificant. A denarius was a day's wages for what we think of as a common labor, day labor. So this is about a third of a year's wages, huh? In today's economy, this would be some thousands of dollars, against the other one being some millions of dollars, or maybe even toward $1 million. Here, this servant plea is, be patient and I'll repay, and that's not unreasonable. That's something he could perhaps pay off in a couple of years, huh? But the fellow to whom he owes it won't wait, and he throws him into prison. Well, it's hard to see how the person is going to be able to make up the debt in prison. Probably the general idea of that, because that was a common phenomenon in antiquity, was that your friends and relatives would put up the money to get you out, and then you would owe them. Well, when the other servants see what this fellow has done, that he's been forgiven this huge debt, and now he's not willing to forgive this smaller debt to himself, they report this to the king. The king becomes angry when he hears this, and he basically says to the guy, since I canceled your debt, you should have canceled his. And he turns him over to the torturers until the debt is paid. Well, the guy's relatives are not going to be able to raise that kind of money, and so that really means never. You get perhaps a little vivid picture, a scary picture of eternal punishment in a passage like this, huh? The stinger of the story is Jesus' application at the end. So shall my heavenly Father do to you if you don't each forgive your brother from your heart. We have an enormous amount that we've been forgiven. We have responsibility to forgive. Significance of this whole incident, this interaction with Peter, Peter's question, the parable, if we are really Christians, we have been forgiven an astronomically large load of sin by God, against whom all of our sins are really committed. Remember David's remark in one of the Psalms, against you, you only have sinned, says David, though he obviously had sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, as well as against God. And so the significance of this story is, we are obligated to forgive others when they repent, no matter how many times they seek it, because their worst sins against us are almost nothing compared to our sins against God. Though, as we see from other passages in Scripture, God will not cancel forgiveness he's actually given. If we are unforgiving people, we show that we have not really received forgiveness from God. May God give us grace to forgive those who sin against us. May we learn that lesson from this rather scary parable.